The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest for a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized him and rushed about that whole region and began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into the villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed. The Gospel of the Lord.
A familiar theme running through the readings today is shepherd. Jeremiah reports, "Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter." The psalmist sings, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." In Ephesians, Paul describes Jesus as the cornerstone that holds everything together, like a shepherd holds a flock together. Finally, in Mark, Jesus shepherds his disciples and the crowds that follow him because they are like sheep without a shepherd. Around here, we aren't used to seeing sheep in flocks grazing on a hillside or following a shepherd back to a sheepfold. But if you've traveled in places like England and Ireland or New Zealand, you've seen such sights. In those places, out in the open landscapes, sheep dotting the countryside are beautiful, fluffy, scampering. But up close, sheep, fully grown adult sheep, are often messy and stinky and can become belligerent. They need a shepherd to lead and provide for them. Otherwise, they wander, get lost, or get into tangles and traps they can't get out of. Sheep learn to trust the shepherd completely, so a nefarious shepherd can easily scatter a flock and destroy its order and well-being by carelessness or abandonment or evil intention. Now, it is very important to distinguish something. People are not sheep. Because of their nature, sheep came to symbolize vulnerability, innocence, and purity in Judeo-Christian iconography. Like images of seeds in parables, sheep convey a religious connotation. But in the past, some people were believed to be like sheep and so were treated like sheep. They were shepherded by those who held power over them. I refer to people subjected to colonialism, to people enslaved, and to people restricted and excluded from opportunity afforded to others by discriminatory law and practice. In our context here, in the liturgy of the word and in scripture itself, when we speak of people as sheep needing a shepherd, we are speaking metaphorically about a spiritual relationship. Certainly, there are people who need shepherding. Young children need to be tended. Older children need to be taught. Even adolescents need boundaries and guidance. Further, some people with disabilities need extra help of different kinds. But such helps are not intended to control or limit rightful freedoms. People in need of such help are not sheep needing to be herded into a fenced pasture or limited to only certain places or narrow possibilities. Jesus shepherds the people who flock to hear him, to see him, to be near him, by feeding them not just food for body, but also food for the soul. He heals them, body and soul. He teaches them so that their lives may be well founded. This is how he becomes the cornerstone of people's lives. Not to be a slave master, not to be a harsh judge or controlling governor, not to be a king, real or would be, who divides and conquers. Jesus is a shepherd of the heart, wisely guiding through love, safeguarding with compassion. Let's look more closely at our readings today to better understand the metaphor of shepherd and shepherding. The opening line you heard in the gospel is, "The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all they had done and taught." It alludes to much earlier in the chapter where Jesus calls the 12 to the renewal movement he has launched, commissions them to service, and sends them out. Jesus sent them out in pairs with few tangible resources. He says, "Take no bread, no money," rendering them dependent on the welcome and provisions of those who will give him hospitality. And ultimately, this renders them dependent on God. This instruction is not given to restrict the disciples. Rather, it sets up a reciprocity. They were dependent on their hosts for food and lodging. In return, they gave their hosts the intangible gifts we call the good news. They gave them gifts of love, of healing, of hope. And now they have returned to Jesus to tell him all that happened. There's a lot left unsaid, but we can imagine enthusiastic reports of changed lives, healed bodies, restored spirits, and miracles of transformations of relationships and situations. Seeing lives change, seeing joy replacing grief or fear, seeing abilities replacing disability is mutually transformative. When we minister to others, as these apostles did, we quickly realize our participation brings us joy, empowers us with confidence to do even more. Recently, for example, your In Touch Ministry callers reported on their first month's calls, describing joy and growing confidence in the ministry and feeling encouraged to make more calls. Now notice how Jesus responds to the apostles' enthusiastic reports. He says, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." Here is an important takeaway message for us today. Rest is essential to balance work, and service is work. And another detail in Jesus' message must be highlighted. He says, "Come away by yourselves." These men have had a unique experience, each especially with his traveling companion. At the beginning of the chapter, Jesus tried to teach and heal in his hometown. Things didn't go so well. People questioned what he was doing and his authority to do it. They disbelieved his message and his works. If Jesus sent these men home to rest, they might face similar disbelief. They might immediately get pulled back into the drama and demands of home and neighborhood and family and friends. What we call today that Jesus recommends to his followers is a debriefing. In other words, space and time to process their experiences, to get some distance from the intensity they had experienced, to begin to see their own experience through a wider lens. A debriefing retreat allows for one's own rest and healing of the often exhaustive efforts spent on work itself and of the emotional investment necessary to do one's work, any kind of work. For these men, there was the traveling by foot, no less, the teaching and tending the sick, the distressed, and the frightened. And on the other side, appreciating hospitality takes time and energy as well. Jesus could undoubtedly see the apostles' fatigue, perhaps before they were even feeling it. How many of you have fallen into bed and only then realized how exhausted you were? Sometimes it's difficult to fall asleep. You're too tired to sleep. You lie there, mind racing over the day and all that happened, body tensed. Unfortunately, we learn from Mark's gospel that they didn't get much rest. Maybe a nap on the boat, because upon their arrival, new crowds had already gathered. Such was the hunger for the good news they had heard or heard about. Hunger for hope, for healing, and for life-changing miracles. If you read the whole chapter, you will see even more of the drama and intensity Jesus and his disciples dealt with daily. I encourage you to do that. And as you do, reflect on how you can relate the stories in it to your own lives today, either in parallel or in contrast. For example, Jesus sent his disciples out into the world, while in contrast, COVID sent us home, away from the world. In both situations, people were sick, lives were disrupted, fears of political fallout and economic disaster loomed, and unpredictable storms were always a possibility to disrupt life and work. And then, in parallel, something happened that changed everything. The people who came to see Jesus heard a hopeful new message. Suddenly, we heard about vaccine development. Some people hearing Jesus may have been confused with the new teaching and struggled to believe. Who is this man who works miracles? Who are these others following him, helping him, and also doing miracles? We at home were often confused by incomplete or conflicting information, conspiracy theories, and even bold-faced lies. Who creates such distortions, such outlandish ideas? And who simply tells lies? Then, sick people touched Jesus' robe and were healed. We who got vaccinated are protected. Still, disbelief then and disinformation now battle with truth. It's on this note of continuing battle that we have returned to the world. The disciples tried to get some R&R and didn't get much. What are we experiencing in our return to our world? Some of us are tired of hearing about it all. We tune out the new graphs and reports and stats about new outbreaks, hospitalizations, and death across the globe. But we must keep the information flowing. We must continue to pay attention, to listen, to respond, just like Jesus and his missionaries went straight back to work with the new crowds, teaching, healing, feeding. Otherwise, we risk becoming vulnerable like sheep that have wandered away, can no longer hear the shepherd's voice, and don't know who to follow. We continue to need to talk about our experience, to cry over it when the tears well up, and to rail at what makes things worse or harder than they need to be. We need to widen our lens to understand the enormity of things. And the reason for this is to grow compassion. The widest lens of all is compassion. Jesus had compassion for those folks he understood through the metaphor of sheep and shepherding. Jesus felt their pain, and he knew the fatigue of his disciples and had compassion for all of them. We too must be a compassionate people, reciprocally compassionate. We must recognize that the pain we know is shared by others. We truly walk in each other's shoes. Maybe not the same economic shoes, or political shoes, or health and wellness shoes. But emotionally, we grieve alike. We fear alike. We experience joy alike. We human beings are all people with the same capacities and hungers. In our commonalities, we must find true compassion. Compassion doesn't discriminate. Compassion doesn't exclude. Compassion isn't out for ourselves alone. We must be shepherds of compassion to each other, because we are all in this life together. Amen.